Bold. Brave. With Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 527 of the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. Today, I'm joined by someone I consider to be a heroine in my life, and that is a woman whose name is Ann Hegstrom. And she is an athlete with the National Senior Games or the Senior Olympics, as many of us know. And I can't wait to share her with every single one of you, because you need to know from her some real longevity lessons, ways to be able to look at your life in a very special way, all about resilience. So Ann is a 69-year-old athlete who rediscovered running as recreation and competition in her 50s. There's your first lesson. It's never too late. She ran track and field in high school. She qualified for the state track meet. Solid runner who could help fill out a relay. And she and her husband, Gary, who was a quadriplegic in a power wheelchair, started participating in charity 5K runs. And soon the competitive drive was reborn. And so Ann was a teacher, and she'll tell you about that, for many years. And she has a motto: once a teacher, always a teacher, and how she got involved with the National Senior Games. And welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, to our wonderful podcast. Why? Because we have a large intergenerational audience, and they're mostly women, not all at all. And what's important here is I think that everyone needs to be inspired to go out there and just rock and roll at any point in life, and to be able to see that obstacles are the way, rather than just, you know, sitting back and becoming paralyzed, you know, with obstacles, brick walls, whatever shows up in your way and back and forth. So, Ann, I'm so happy to have you here. So I just came back from the Iowa, this is in Des Moines, Iowa, Senior Games. This is where they were this year. They're every 2 years. And the first person I always look for is you, because you always have such a wild and crazy outfit on. So tell us why you do that.
Well, it started just because I'm a teacher and we're all about themes. So that started there. But what I started noticing is that people would look for the outfits. They would start coming up to me and starting conversations. And that's where the magic begins. People will tell me their story. I'll tell them my story. And together we learn how to grow together.
I love it. And so what does she wear? I'm not kidding you. So first of all, she always has either two braids or one braid. So I'm always looking for the braid, number one. Number two, you know, many times when you're a runner, you'll probably see this in marathon and this and that, we wear partial sleeves. So she's got two arm sleeves on, and they are every single color. So it could be stripes, it could be, you know, if she's in a real patriotic spirit, like I saw, she had red, white, and blue. And then she's got her running legging, which matches what's going on her arms. And then she's got something else going on the shirt, and she just stands out. Now, you explained at one point in a beautiful blog for the National Senior Games why you love to have that. And that is something about, even if you don't win, people will remember you, right? Something, isn't that what you said?
If you don't win, you have to look good.
There you go.
And people will remember the outfits.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that that is so cool. You know, so talk to us about the meaning of physical activity throughout your life.
Well, you know, like I said, in high school, I did track and field. And you know, there's something very powerful about working hard and being able to accomplish your goals. It's so empowering. Then life kind of gets in the way. So I went to school. Nursing school, of course, had no track and field. It was all about doing the job. And then I met Gary, and I met him in the hospital. He was already quadriplegic when I met him. And so taking care of him took a lot of effort and energy for a while. But at some point, he got strong enough that he was able to, in his power wheelchair, do 5K races, long walks, hikes, or whatever. And that power wheelchair goes faster than I was accustomed at that time. So it took a little bit of training just to keep up with him.
Okay. And so, again, the meaning throughout your life, I mean, you did it in high school and whatever else, and then you went to nursing school. Did fitness still fit into your life then?
Not so much. Well, of course, fitness as far as trying to stay healthy. So it was more the eating and taking care of myself, getting enough sleep, those types of things. There was a lot of strength that I had to do to lift Gary and to be able to do his daily care. So there was a lot of having to take care of myself. But we didn't really start doing running activities until probably my mid-40s.
Okay. And I know that Gary passed away.
Thank you.
How long ago was that?
It's been 12 years.
Yeah. My condolences, needless to say.
Thank you.
So that was a huge thing in your life. Did fitness and your running help you through that?
Let me tell you, the running community is probably one of the most supportive communities I've ever been involved in. Initially, I was just doing races that Gary and I had both signed up for together. And even though he was no longer with me, I was doing them in honor of him. But people just, they know when they talk to you. They can sense when you need somebody to talk to you. And it was just the most supportive. You're active and you're trying to do positive things. And it does help. It heals so much.
So much about experiencing longevity in an optimal way is really all about connectivity. It's about relationships, how they support you all the way through. There's a really nifty book out by a colleague of mine, one of the great longevity experts, and the book is called Super Agers. And the number one predictor of optimal longevity is relationships, maintaining relationships. And, you know, I was observing you when I went to the Iowa Games several weeks ago, and I noticed that no matter where you were just surrounded by folk. Folk just sort of, you know, you're like a little people magnet. People were just coming up, hanging out, saying hi. You didn't even know half of them. They were just sort of like, hey, you know, you look like you're fun. And, you know, I think that that's one of the greatest gifts of getting together to do anything that involves some level of fitness when you've got people. So it's like a walking club, a hiking club, cycling, whatever. There's this sense of camaraderie that I think is extraordinary. So here you are, you're in the healing arts, you're a nurse. I'm sure that being a nurse also really reminded you about health and well-being. Did that help you along the way?
Oh, so much, so much. I can't even think of the amount of times I've had to make decisions for my health based on some of my background knowledge. For example, I discovered I was getting migraines, and it took some figuring out exactly what the migraine triggers are, and I could practically be migraine-free now just by watching my diet.
And you yourself also ended up with a diagnosis.
Indeed, yes. As I was getting ready for the National Senior Games in Albuquerque, I went for my annual mammogram, taking care of everything, and that was when they found a tumor. So we went through the whole process of doing the biopsy, et cetera, talking to the team, and they're trying to schedule surgery. And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to Albuquerque. So, you know, that was about a month away. And so the team decided that I could start the hormone suppressing drugs and that would keep things kind of at bay until I got back from the games. And then I had my surgery right away after I got back.
And how's that been since then for you?
It's been 6 years cancer-free.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, congratulations with that. And boy, do you have wild priorities.
Oh, no.
You know, I mean, seriously, that's something that maybe some people would have said, what? What, are you nuts or something? You know, I mean, you should immediately just attend to this. But, you know, apparently it was at a level where it could be controlled by specific medication, et cetera. So that's a good thing too. And kudos to you. So here's yet another thing that happens. You know, at your age of 69 years, what I love to call bold, not old, you're 69 years bold, right? Because mm-hmm. this is the Bold and the Brave podcast. You enter a time in your life that I call the waiting for the other shoe to drop years. It's like, you know, you've had this magnificent car. It's a vintage car now. You're now in the vintage world. And whenever you have a vintage car, people say, okay, you need to have a conversation with a maintenance dude, you know, because suddenly you're going to have to be doing things on a more frequent basis and stay on top of stuff, and weird stuff's going to happen under that hood, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of where we are here. Let's talk about how you take care of yourself. So you're 69. Now, as I've ranted and raved on my podcast so many times, you're in your seventh decade of life, which is the 60s. Now, during that time, there's a drop, and I don't care who you are, if you're a former Olympian, whatever, there's going to be a drop in muscle mass, in lean body mass, all right? That's just normal. But if you're physically fit, if you're lifting weights and if you're doing what you need to do, you should be able to minimize that fairly well so that the drop doesn't like throw you into frailty or something.
Right.
So how do you take care of yourself? Like, what's your typical kind of fitness regimen? So you're track and field. And so obviously this involves a goodly amount of aerobic, but strength training as well?
Yes. Yes. And not probably I should do a lot more, but a lot of core work, a lot of work with my legs. So those are the main things that I do. In my little teeny town, about 2,000 people, I'm well known for walking my 10 to 12 miles every day.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, stop. Okay. Wait a minute. You said 10 to 12 miles a day?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know, at first I thought you were going to say 10,000 steps. And then I thought, what? 10 yeah. to 12 miles. And do you do that every single day?
Pretty much every day. Yep. Unless it's like okay. icy or something.
Okay. So there's no OCD there, is there? No.
But, you know, but it's also my way of seeing my neighbors because I'm passing through the neighborhood all the time and visiting with their dogs and those types of things. So, you know, it's also a social time too, and a signal that, you know, if this woman is walking this much, maybe we should be walking more.
Oh, no. So, yeah. Once a teacher, always a teacher. Oh, no. So I love the fact that, and I do the same thing. I'm not doing 10 to 12, I'll tell you that. But I'm also not doing track and field. Right. I do other things. What's interesting here is that you just added that connectivity, that relationship thing to your fitness and longevity strategy. And so, you know, here you are walking along in a beautiful little town. Everybody knows you. And they see you out there doing your thing. So you get a beautiful gift. And that gift is them saying hi to you and hanging out with a dog and catching up on XYZ. And then off you go to, you know, nail the rest of the miles. So it's basically like 5 to 6 miles one way and then 5 to 6 miles back. Is that the way it works?
Well, I kind of crisscrossed my way through the town. So
I see. Yeah. So you're all over the freaking place. Okay. I just want to know.
Part of that is strategic because at my age, if I would fall and get hurt, I want somebody to see me. So
brilliant.
I want to know the neighbors and know that they would call.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that. So you're not just wandering off in the forest by yourself.
No.
And You know, but you know, I love the way you thought that through. I don't care how old you are. It's really important that when you're taking care of yourself, that you're also thinking about self-protection when you're rocking and rolling. I think that that's brilliant. So you're crisscrossing, you're making sure that you're seen, and if there's an issue, you know someone will take care of you. I just think, what else is going on during those walks? Right now, I'm going to milk it for all it's worth.
Well, there's a lot of audiobooks going on. So.
We're doing the audiobooks. Okay, folks out there, audiobooks. Okay, this is a great time to do it. Just to listen and learn. Listen and learn. What do you listen to on the audiobook?
Oh, just about anything. Right now, I'm doing a lot of rom-coms, so yeah.
Oh, rom-com. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to let that baby go, but... Okay, I thought you were going to say, and then I was listening to Albert Camus, and I was learning philosophy, and okay, fine, rom-com, hey, okay, girlfriend, rock with it, okay, is all I can say. All of a sudden, she picks up a little faster pace as she's getting to the hotter parts of the, okay, all right, so we're good with that, that's good. So, everyone there knows that you also compete in the game. So do you have like a whole town behind you kind of, you know, supporting you and asking how the training's going and all the rest of it?
Yeah, they know when I have races coming up. So, yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. Very good. So you've been racing mostly in Iowa, but then when the senior games show up, you qualify in Iowa and then off you go to the senior games. Where do you do your track and field work?
Mostly in West Des Moines, we have our senior games are there, and we know that one of the tracks is open during certain hours that we can go and practice if we want to practice on the oval. For the most part, I'm doing hill repeats in my town. It's a hilly town, so if I can, you know, run a couple hundred meters going uphill for training.
I see. Okay, but what about, you know, the other field, not track, but the field work that you do? Tell us about the field work, because track is obviously running, but field work could be all kinds of things, you know, triple jumps. And so what do you do?
Well, mostly what I've discovered by talking to other athletes, the only time that you can get a pit for a long jump or a triple jump is when the school is open. And so this summer, there's no place to practice that anymore. But you can still work on your starts and deciding when you jump. You know, you know that you have a distance that you have to jump, and you can't scratch when you're over jumping over the line. You know, so there's things that you could practice without having a pit. So a good start, having a good pace, deciding where that mark is and jumping from there. So I have used the sand pile in the park.
Okay, yeah, well, so you basically, you know, stooped to that low, but okay. So which jumps are you doing?
I'm doing long jump and triple jump.
Okay, what's the difference? Tell everyone.
Oh, it's so much fun. So the long jump is what you think of, most people have done in high school, where you run enough to get your momentum going. There's a piece of wood that you have to land on in order to get jump into the pit. So it's one jump. Now, triple jump is you have to figure out how long it takes you to jump on one foot, then the same foot, and then go to the other foot, and then into the pit. So the distance is different. You still have to decide where you start that mark at, do your three combination of three jumps, and then land into the pit. And they measure that whole distance from that first mark.
Now, did you do that in high school?
No, that wasn't an option in high school for me.
That's right. In those days, women didn't count. Sorry, just had to be there.
My state was one of the better states because we had basketball going way back. So, and then I had track and field and softball and basketball were available to us at that time. But not all states had that.
Yeah, yeah. And did you always kind of know you were a jock?
Yeah, I think, yeah, yeah. Well, I had four brothers, you know, so.
You know, I had three brothers, and that's how I figured out. I'm like, when they said, hey, let's hang out of trees, let's do that. Yeah, that sounds good. You know, let's play dodgeball. Let's play kill Pam. Yeah. you know, like, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, I didn't agree to that one.
Yeah, so, brothers do that, don't they?
Yeah, it's like, you know, but it's fun, Pam. We'll just hurt you a little bit, just a little bit. Yeah, could you define little, you know, before we start in? Yeah, so we're all on the same page here. So, oh my God, I just love this. Now, when we come back, I'm going to be asking you, Ann, when you actually started doing the jumps. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. Okay, Ann, tell us when you started doing those jumps. Like, I mean, you were already doing track. You got that down to a fine science. But what's up with the jumps?
The jumps are just fun. And of course, I did long jump in high school. So in our senior games that we do in Iowa, we do the traditional long jump, which I like doing. It's anytime I can go longer than I am tall, I'm happy with that. And then we also do a standing long jump. So you just stand at the edge of the pit and jump. And then the triple jump. And that just fascinates me because at one time, you know, so you hear it called the hop, skip, and jump because it looks so odd. But, you know, you watch Olympics and you see what that looks like. And then it's available for us. So let's try it. The best part is people will coach you. So I will go to track meets and people will coach me on how to do that. There are people who are willing to teach me how to do javelin and things like that. So it's like, it's just exciting. You can learn from each other and people are willing to help you.
How long ago did you start doing the jumps?
It would have been probably 5 or 6 years ago. So it wasn't for my first games, but yeah.
So you were in your 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, another little lesson, ladies and gentlemen, for everyone out there, it's never too late. Every time I'm at the games, I'm always amazed when I ask people, so, hey, you know, when did you start doing X, Y, and Z, you know, sport? And they go, oh, when I was 71. Like, yeah. Whoa, okay, all right. And then I ask, hey, have you ever done this before? Nah. You know, what got you going? I don't know. It looked kind of interesting. So one of the things we've learned in longevity science is that being adventuresome, constantly opening yourself up to learning, there we are, once a teacher, always a teacher, and being able to apply that, challenging yourself, that challenge situation is so terribly important because people stop challenging themselves. They get into this weird comfort zone, like, oh, I'm really good at X, Y, Z. I think I'll just stick with that forever. No. Why don't you try challenging yourself with anything else that's just really interesting? It looks kind of fun, maybe. And if it's hard to learn, that's cool. You get a sense of achievement and accomplishment from that. That's pretty cool. So that's one of the things I've really learned from people like yourself. Tell us how you eat. What do you do? You know, women everywhere just want to know, how do you take care of yourself? What does an athlete at your age do as a woman who's trying to stay on top of optimal body composition, et cetera? So what do you do? Give us an example day.
Well, I'm one of those multiple small meal a day persons. So I will start with a carbohydrate and a protein to start the day. And then
like what?
A lot of peanut butter on toast or whatever. So I'll start with that. Might throw a banana in there. Then I'll just go, you know, throw in vegetables and fruits for my later meals.
Protein.
Lots and lots of protein. I do lots
like
of
what?
Protein.
Where do you get your protein from?
Some plant-based. I'll do peanut butter is my go-to for plant-based, but I do chicken and turkey are my proteins.
So you have little meals, so you don't have like a main meal anytime at all?
Well, I'm widowed, so I can eat whenever I want. So I do. So.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. Do you have like more of a, as it were, dinner time? Or, you know, when do you eat your last meal?
My biggest meal of the day would be about 2 o'clock.
Okay, stop everyone. Stop. Listen to what she just said, right? So this is exceptionally important. And how many times have all of you heard me say this? You know, main meal is in midday, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock-ish, whatever, is an excellent time to be able to have a nice balanced kind of, as it were, main meal, for lack of a better term. Okay. And then as the day goes on, Anne, how do you eat after that meal at 2 o'clock?
I usually have kind of a late afternoon meal, 4 or 5 o'clock, and then like a 7 o'clock kind of almost more like a bedtime snack thing.
So I'd like
be just
what?
It might be sandwich, cookies, something like that with some milk.
Okay. Very good. Very good. What time do you go to bed?
Early, like 9 o'clock.
Oh, no, don't be cool. You know, 9 o'clock is rocks totally.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what time do you get up? God forbid. Here we go. What time do you get up?
Well, it is summer. It is hot in Iowa. So I'm waking up about 4:30 so I can get most of my walking done before the sun comes up.
Ah, well, see, that makes sense. Okay, that's cool. So you're saying 4:35-ish, whatever, and then off you go. And so you really get in some great sleep, right?
Yeah.
So you sleep pretty soundly. So if you count up the number of calories she's, you know, Anne is actually crunching there just from her walking alone from doing 10 miles. So if you figure you're doing no less than 100 calories per mile. Okay. That's a whole mess of calories.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just doing gross averages here. And I'm assuming obviously you're stopping here and there and hanging out with folk and whatever. Right. But, you know, if you do 4 miles, about 400 calories, right? 10 miles, you know, that's 1,000.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be 1,200 if you're, you know, doing those 12 miles. So right off the bat, you have a caloric deficit. So this is why you can get away with, you know, eating as you're doing, because what you're actually doing, and this is something important for everyone out there, people who do, and you don't have to be any kind of, you know, significant athlete or anything, but if you're doing routinized physical activity, you tend to be what we call interoceptive. Now, that's a fancy word for what? You know your body well. If there's a little something happening with your little finger, you're on it. Okay. Some people are it's almost like they're just decapitated. Their brain doesn't know what their body's doing and they're just unawares. Whereas people, as they become more and more fit, what happens is you're on top of it. It's like you're going to ride a NASCAR and you have to be on top of that damn car because that's your life right there. So how the tires are looking, what's going on under the hood, everything, you're on it. So you are your own little NASCAR there, right? And you want to be able to be aware. And that's why when you know, you start feeling hungry and you know that it's time to have a little something, something. You also know when to stop. Doesn't it feel a little bit more natural? You're kind of like, whoa, you know, I'm approaching the stop sign here. Do you know that feeling?
Yeah. And I think with the small meals, it kind of helps. You just know that that's enough for now. You can come back later. Yeah.
As you age, you actually need less food. You just need to be more strategic about it. It's an interesting thing because as you age, appetite and hunger change such that smaller meals sometimes do work. I mean, everyone's got a different gig going. A lot of people are doing the time-restricted feeding, circadian rhythm kind of stuff, and making sure they're staying within a window of eating between 8 to 12 hours. Everyone, you know, and you don't have to do exactly the same thing every single day either. There's plenty of wiggle room here, but it's just important to listen to your body in a significant way. You're a smaller person, I will tell you that. Most people don't know what you look like. You are a slender, lean woman. How tall are you?
5'2".
You're 5'2". See, I told you. That's another thing. If you're 5'2", 5'4", and you're 69, don't be eating like you're 6'9". What? You know, stop that. And start listening, right? Start listening to your body. What is your body saying right now? Is it saying, you know, I think we need to put a little lid on this one right now, having a little too much to listen to it. Eat slower, savor, be more strategic. Get that protein in 1.2 to 1.4 grams per kilogram body weight. Very important to keep up with that. That's the new recommendation, 1.2 to 1.4 grams per kilogram body weight. Make certain. Do you take a little multiple vitamin to make sure you're on top of everything?
I do.
Excellent.
And because of the medication I was on during my cancer treatment, of course, I'm doing extra calcium. I'm in osteoporosis mode. So yeah, so lots of taking care of myself there.
Okay, so did you get the osteoporosis because of the treatment?
Yes. Yeah, they told me that. So the treatment I had was less, it caused less problems for heart disease, but more problems for osteoporosis. So,
yeah, that was an aromatase inhibitor is what you were given. And so that thinned out the bones there. Our sponsor for this marvelous podcast is a Solaray Vitamins. And I take their Collagen Bone Complete because it has everything in it that you really need to be able to maintain, you know, good bone mineral density, especially given your situation. I also work with a number of oncologists who are deeply concerned about women who are on breast cancer therapies that thin their bones out. You know, on the one hand, the good news is you're in a cure mode right now with your breast cancer. The funky news is there's always some consequence. So you got to stay on top of that. And also vitamin D. Hello, vitamin D?
Yeah.
Okay. And Solaray also has fantastic vitamin D. What's really important is to know that vitamin D helps absorption of calcium. Now, everyone out there, I'm going to give you another reminder. You need to know what your vitamin D level is. So when you come in for your bloods, you say, and please make certain that I get my vitamin D level. And then they'll go ahead and order it. And then they'll let you know. Here's the goal. Based upon the latest research by, you know, experts in the field, you want to have a vitamin D level between 40 to 50 nanogram per milliliter, 40 to 50. Now, if it goes up to 60, that's perfectly fine, but we don't want it below 40. In the old days, you might remember, Anne, we said that vitamin D levels of 20, perfectly fine. No, because vitamin D is not just good for bones. It's also fantastic as a cancer preventative. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it's also great to boost immune function. So this has all been published research. And so we want to stay on top of that. Super important. So do you ever have down days? Do you ever have like totally funkadelic days? Because, you know, when I see you, you're smiling, you've got, you know, such great energy. It's great to be around you. I mean, hell, I was just walking around you. I didn't even say, you know, I didn't interrupt your conversation. I just want to be near your energy because you've got such great positive energy. So, you know, what's your wisdom when you have really funky days?
I rarely have the really, really low days. You know, I mean, really the worst was after Gary passed. It took a while to come out of that. But I'm a survivor. I survived sorrow. I survived cancer. There's so many things that I am still, for some reason, here on this earth, and I'm joyful. It's such a miracle and such a wonderful thing to be here.
How did you figure out you're a survivor? I mean, was this childhood, adolescence, young adulthood? Where did you learn how to do that? Because many people oftentimes become paralyzed when something really tough happens in their life. Suddenly, it's all about that event and they can't seem to get out of that rabbit hole. What are your words of wisdom?
So many times in life, there's like a fork in the road. Something could happen and something could turn out better. And you just have to look for those places where you can make a better choice. There's so many times. I'm thinking of when I had the opportunity to go back to school. I went back to school to be an elementary school teacher. And I'm just going, that was a decision I made and wonderful things came out of that.
What came out of that? What do you mean by wonderful things?
First of all, because Gary was a quadriplegic, children wasn't going to happen for us. That was how I got to have children. I got to teach children every year.
Oh, there's another one. Okay, so folks, another life lesson. And that is adapt and adjust. Adapt and adjust. You know, things just happen. And there you have it. You can make something of this. So if you don't have your own biological child, you'll make your own family now, won't you?
Yeah.
And so you had all those kids. How long have you been an elementary school teacher?
I taught elementary school for 10 years, and then I started working for students with visual impairments. So they truly became family because we taught them over a span of years.
So you did some amazing things by giving to these kids, right? Over the years. Pretty amazing. There's also something else, and that is you are a nurse and I'm a doctor, so we know the gig. What we are is we are rescuers. That's what we do. We rescue. And so you just keep finding new groups to rescue one way or the other. And you've inspired people when you go to the games. So do you see a little rescue going on there, a little teaching?
A lot of teaching. One of the biggest things I saw at the games were people who had never been to a big event like this and had lost their confidence. And you just have to tell them you can do it. And I was there too at one time. You know, the first time you do something big is scary. So you could share some of how you got past that.
And one of the things I notice about the senior games is it's very different than the young Olympics. In the young Olympics, it's pretty acid. It's like it gets ugly, right? You know,
right.
You're just fighting it out and this is a big thing. Whereas with the senior games, there's plenty of that too. I mean, people are quite competitive, but at the same time, what else is going on? A tremendous amount of camaraderie. I've never seen so much backslapping and laughing and having fun. And I was looking at some of the softball teams and the basketball teams and how they all just get along, and the badminton and pickleball. Now, pickleball, you know, it got ugly. Okay, let's just call it what it was ugly. It was ugly. And there were like 2,000 participants. Good Lord.
Yeah.
With all these teams. And I'm just so glad pickleball's a thing now among all age groups. Everyone loves to do this thing. It's just that the younger ones are even more acid on the overall. I just love this. I think that, you know, now you're about ready to enter a new age category. Yeah, I know.
The only time it pays to get older.
I know. See, here's a gig. I just figured something else, and you know, I love the senior games. I mean, please, okay? They're just the absolute best. So to be in the senior games, you have to be 50 or over. If you're 49, we don't want you. You're not ready yet. 50, okay, now we're talking. And it's 50 plus. There's no end to it. So we have 100-year-olds, 105-year-olds, you know, on and on. Okay. So I figured out something wild, and that is the older you get, especially as you start hitting 80 plus, there are fewer and fewer people, hello, in your age groups. So one day, if you just plan it out right, if you could just sort of stay healthy enough, there will only be three of you showing up, which means you're all going to get a medal. It just depends upon what color it is. So that's my goal. I just want to, you know, hang out until I'm it. That's it. We're done. You know, they go, wow, you know, she's like 93 and there's only, you know, one other person in her age group. And so they're just going to fight it out between the gold and the silver. And there is no bronze. I just think it's funny as hell. But that's cool. So now, the reason why I brought this up with Anne is because she's 69. So she's about ready. When do you turn 70?
In February.
Oh, my. So there you go. And that's the qualifying year, because the next games are going to be 2027 in Tulsa. Okay. So you're going to be the youngest person in your age group. Look at you. Like, get down with your bad self here. She's dancing and she's going, I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm totally bad. And so the joke with the senior games is you just want to be the youngest person in your age group, because the others are kind of aging. And I don't know, the things are starting to look a little bit more difficult as you get old. And I'm going to tell you something, man, after the age of 60, you can really feel the aging. It's like, you know, when you're 40, it's like, eh, whatever, you know, 15, you know, meh. But then by 60, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? Somebody didn't give me a heads up. Maybe I'll look in my inbox. And there's a little email that said, hey, by the time you're 60, things are going to start speeding up here a little bit. And so, oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, my sport in the past has been triathlon. You know, that tends to be fairly competitive for a while because, you know, a lot of people, especially women, are doing more and more triathlon, but I think I'm going to start spreading myself out to cycling and swimming and, you know, whatever in the future, just to kind of have more fun instead of just sort of putting all my eggs in one basket. But there you have it. So let me ask you a question as we're kind of bringing this whole thing to a finality. And that is, what happens if you don't win? How do you feel?
And I didn't win, and that's okay. So this is the deal. I qualified, which means I deserve to be there.
That's huge.
Yeah. I did my best, and people were faster or jumped further, and you celebrate that.
That is so cool. Did you hear that out there? Hello? Knock, knock. Listen up. That is just so cool. You know, afterwards, you all just slap each other on the back and go, hey, that was so cool. Whatever. I just love that attitude. All right. So now what are you planning for the next games? Are you going to be doing the same sports? Are you expanding? Are you playing around? What are you doing?
I just love the running. So I probably will still be doing track and field and power walking. But I'm kind of looking at some other sports. The difficulty is sometimes different sports kind of conflict time-wise with each other. So I'll have to kind of look that over. But I might be adding javelin to my routine now.
Come on, Ian, do it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, javelin looks like it's totally cool. And you also do the power walk. What's the difference between race walking and power walking?
The race walking is more strict on technique. So with race walking, you have to have 1 foot on the ground at all times, which is the same in power walking, but you will have to have your, as soon as your foot hits the ground, your knee has to be straight, and has to be straight until it passes underneath your body. So those are the two rules, 1 foot on the ground at all times, leg is straight until it passes under your body.
What about power walking?
Power walking, it requires a heel to toe movement with your foot. 1 foot is on the ground at all times. It does not require the straight knee, which is one of the reasons we're celebrating it, because so many people can't get their knees straight anyway at our age. So that'll be fun to do.
Okay. I really want to play around with power walking. It looks like it's a gas. And the other thing that's really good is it's phenomenal aerobic exercise. I mean, it is crazy. And so I love it, love it, love it. And I am honestly going to plan on doing that for the next games, adding that to my little roster of wild and crazy things that I want to do. So there's that. That's so cool. There's so many things to do. It's like one huge sandbox out there, right? And in your case, it's definitely sand because of your...
because of jumps, yeah.
All right. So as we close this up, Anne, can you share with everyone out there, especially those people who say, I don't know that I could really get out there and challenge myself. I feel like I'm a fool. It's too late, whatever. What would you say to the man?
I was there too. When I first started doing the games, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know what events there were. I didn't know some technique for things. And, you know, you just have to try. You find something that works for you. So for me, it's running and race walking and jumps. But there's a sport out there for you, whether it's track and field, it could be pickleball, it could be shuffleboard. There's so many things you can do, but find something. There's a community out there who will teach you and have fun.
Ah, that's the way we want to end it. Have fun. And that's what we've been having for the last God knows how many minutes now since we've been doing the podcast. I am so happy to finally connect with you when there weren't 35 people surrounding you who wanted a piece of the action. And we're all thrilled you are here. And I wish you a lot of luck as you train for the next games. And I look forward to seeing you in Tulsa so we can just go out there and kick ass.
Yes.
Okay. Can we just kick ass and be a badass? Okay. I love it. All right. And thank you so much for being on the HER podcast.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Wonderful. And I want to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins. Oh, so just wonderful vitamins, minerals, and herbs, all rooted in nature. And the new Solaray HER Life Stages products. And remember, I said Solaray for a lot of things here. Multiple Vites, the Collagen Bone Complete, the Vitamin D, they got them all. Scope it all out at Solaray, SolaRay.com. And now take a moment and leave us a review because we love to hear from you. The entire team just waits. This has been a production of Podcast Health. And I got a little something for you. And that is, remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time, as Anne said, are not. So get out there and seize the day. Carpe diem, everyone. Thanks for listening and being with us.